Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey, greetings everybody from Taiwan. I'm on my way to Manila for a two-week intensive residential there for my master's program in leadership evangelism. Really appreciate your prayers. But I wanted to take this time out to introduce our special speaker today. He's one of us. He's graduated from Leadership 215. He and his wife are precious gems of leaders. And so we're really excited to have them leading our campus ministry. Shout out to Ian Campus. Shout out to Ian Youth. God bless our speaker, Mark Dellett, as he comes to deliver the word. Can we give it up for him and take this opportunity to get to know him better? He's an awesome man of God. Give it up for Mark Dellett, everybody. Peace.
We're celebrating his birthday there in January 2016. And this is actually a few days after Kurt first came to this church. He's from South Africa. My wife's South African. And we brought him over here to hang out with us. And the reason we did that, well, we wanted to see him, but he had a massive encounter with God. He wasn't my favorite drinking buddy anymore. He came to my house, and he read his Bible, and he was just a bit weird. But every day, I watched him, and there was something different about him. It wasn't just a change of, oh, I don't drink anymore or whatever. This guy was different. Something had happened. Big change had happened. And during his trip here in January 2016, Adele and him are walking in South Bank, just over here, and he sees a piece of paper on the ground, and he thinks it's rubbish from a distance, and he goes to pick it up to put it in the bin. He picks it up, and it's an Every Nation prayer card. And he goes, I forgot to mention, that radical encounter with God started in an Every Nation church in South Africa for him, right? And he picks this card up, and he goes, my church is in Brisbane. You have to come along. You have to come and check it out. And I'm like, I don't want to go hang out with your weirdos. I'm like this guy. Nah. Don't think so. I don't want to come and do that. But he came along anyway. He came along that first week in January 2016. And he ran into a 6-foot Samoan guy playing his keyboard. With his wife singing worship there. On the left-hand side, Niku upgraded his cajon to that drum kit nowadays. Sounding fantastic today as well, my friend. But he came home and he told me this, and I was like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm still back at this guy. Oh, no, I don't think so. But I'd seen enough in him that I wanted to come and investigate who these weirdos were. Who are these people that changed my brother? Who did this to him? And you might notice that this picture from 2016 is in this building in QMC. And so anyway, I came along and I sat through my first church service of paying attention. I'd been to a church before and out of humble curiosity with my wife, who was the instigator of such movement. But I sat through this service and it really made a lot of sense to me. And I came back the next week and the next week. These people, there was something that I was noticing in these people, in this building, in this congregation, that was like my brother-in-law. Something was different about these people. These people were Christians. I've heard of these Christians before. I'd argued with them a lot before. I'd often tried to dispel what they're talking about a lot before. But there's something different about these people. They had something that I didn't have. I couldn't put my finger on it, but there was something that I needed to respond to. And my fourth week here, I was sitting right where I'm sitting right now. Right here. Seat number 11. I chose seat number 11 because, anyone seen the movie Spinal Tap? This is Spinal Tap, you know? But these amps go all the way to 11. 11, 11, 11, right across the dial. So I sat in seat number 11, and I felt something. I didn't know what it was, and I got up at the end of the service. Nellie's at the front, you know, if you're feeling something, come down. And I'm like, where my brother Steve is here, this is where my brother-in-law Kurt was. Where my brother Ethan is right here, this is where my wife was. And he's like, oh, tell them, you know, they'll get out of the way. Trust me, they'll get out of the way. And I started coming, and I'm like, guys, please don't. I don't want to hear the creaks in the stairs here. I don't want people to hear me coming. And I'm coming down the stairs because I'm feeling something I've never felt before. I don't know what it is. And I came down here, and I stood right here. And Nelly was standing right here. And he had this cheeky little grin on his face. You know, Nelly's cheeky little grin. And he prayed for me. And something started to happen. I felt funny, but I thought I was emotional. So I was like, oh, yeah, just a bit emotional, that's okay. But a few weeks later, who's gone to a victory weekend here? Does anyone know what that is? Yeah. I went to a victory weekend, which was actually, we have them in the Gold Coast now, right? Nice surf, it's all good. But this victory weekend was upstairs here in the meeting rooms here. And they said to me, who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm like, who wants to receive what? Okay, so, and he explained to me what's happening. I was like, oh, okay. So you're telling me that you're going to pray for me and something will happen. And I'm like, okay, this sounds kind of cool. Let's do this. And placed the hands on me and prayed for me. And I just dropped. Boom. Straight down. Does anyone remember this victory weekend? I don't know. Straight down. Straight down. And it's actually funny in retrospect, you know, my love language is physical touch, right? And I had encountered God. What happened is I had encountered the Holy Spirit. And while I was down on the ground, I must be a bit nuts here, but I'm seeing this cross in my head. And the Holy Spirit, what I've come to understand is the Holy Spirit is ministering to me in this time, showing me that cross was my rubbish nailed to it. And he did that for me. And I was crying. And I kept crying. And I couldn't get up. I was still there. And I stayed there for the best part of a couple of hours, eh? And I carried on the victory weekend. I was sitting there sobbing there. I got up from that. And how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? I got up and life changed. From that moment, that was March 2016. My life changed completely, just like that. And then I started to notice that I had a lot of these. I just want you to know, guys, this isn't a once-off experience of, oh, it only happened to Mark, it can only happen to him. It only happens to a few people that I see on YouTube that this stuff happens to, maybe. No, this is available to every one of you guys, right? Every single one of you. And you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to strive for it. You just have to ask for it. Okay? Cool. So we're going to finish off this series, Kill the Spider. And just so I make sure that we're on the same page, a web you might have picked up in the last few weeks is an outward behavior. And a spider, well, it's the root cause. So I called this Know Your Enemy. That's the little subtitle of what we're doing today. Because someone's been telling lies. Someone's been telling you lies. See, I used to think when I walked in here for the first time and I'm sitting up there in seat 11, I thought that Christians are slaves and mind-controlled and have no freedom. I'm just being real with you guys. Are you okay with that? See what Scripture says about that. Luke 4:16-21. I love this. So Jesus, this is at the start of his ministry, right? So he's just come out of the desert 40 days, and this is the start of his ministry. Before he's gone and introduced himself to the disciples and said, follow me, this is before that, right? He goes into the church, into the synagogue. And it says that he stood up to read, and he picked up a scroll, and it was Isaiah 61:1, which he actually read out, right? And Isaiah 61:1 is, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then it goes on to say in the next little verse here, he rolls the scroll up, puts it back, sits down, and everyone's staring at him. And then he says this, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's like a AD 30 mic drop. Could you imagine that? He's just said to him, it's been fulfilled right there. They're all looking at him. See, you can have freedom right now. Right now, it's yours to take. It's yours to have. It's a gift. But just maybe you quite don't understand that right now. That's okay. So back to my statement here earlier on. Let's examine this statement in the context of my life. Webs and all spiders, they come from a place where there's no Jesus. What do you guys think about that? See, here's some webs and spiders. When I told you I started to notice I had some of these spider webs, I had a lot of spider webs. When I started to notice that I had spider webs, here's some of the list. I don't have enough slides to keep going. So if you're seeing that list and you go, oh, mine's not there. Oh, playing games till, 3 a.m. in the morning's not there. I'm sweet. If it's not there, it's not there. It's all good. This is a comprehensive list. This is not a comprehensive list. I don't have enough slides for it. But this is some, right? And what's important to note on this picture, all of these come from N-O Jesus. And when you K-N-O-W Jesus, see, we can be so close but so far, right? No Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no life. Sounds like the same statement, but I'm making a different statement. When there's Jesus, when you put Jesus in the place of the throne, he kills that spider. Kills it. There's freedom to be had in Christ. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's a promise. He fulfilled that. He fulfilled Isaiah 61:1. Christ was the embodiment of this. Remember, AD mic drop, boom, finished. This begs a very interesting question. I like asking questions. I didn't arrive here today, right here, by not asking questions. I love asking questions. God loves you asking questions. Do you think he's scared of your questions? He made everything. Ask questions. I got here. I'm standing here talking to you right here today because I asked questions. Be encouraged to ask questions. How about this for a question? This might sound like it definitely resonated with me. It resonates with me today. Does it resonate with you? But what if I like these things? Why do I need freedom? I like getting drunk. Why do I need freedom? Better yet, why would God not want me to live like this if it brings me joy? Because I love it. Why is that? Someone has been telling lies. Someone's been telling lies. Because the truth is that God wants you to be joyful. Let me hear some joy, guys. Come on, the Broncos they lost this week. They won last week. Let me hear some joy. Yay! Joy. I love joy. A plate of your favorite meal has just come out in front of you. Let me hear your joy. Yeah. Everything that's holding you down, you are set free from today. Let me hear some joy about that. Okay, everyone's awake. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. So the truth is that God wants you to be joyful. If I look here at John 15:1-11, so from verse 1 to 8 here, he's talking about this process of getting rid of things that aren't fruitful, chopping branches off that are not producing fruit so you can be more fruitful. And then from verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. now remain in my love. If you can keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Huh? Joy. I want you to be joy. Look at this word throughout all these verses here from 1 to 11. Father, 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 Father. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Because he's a good daddy. He's a good daddy. Who's a parent in here? Yeah. Who's a good daddy? Keep the hands up, gentlemen. You're all good daddies. Come on. God is a good daddy. He is a good daddy. What does a good daddy want? He wants balloons for everyone that spell out joy. A good daddy, he wants joy for his kids. How many of you daddies want joy for your kids in here? I can't hear you dads. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what time it is on Sunday morning? I'm not awake yet. Yeah. You see, he's not trying to rob you of your joy. He's trying to restore it. How about that? Now, with that lens, let's look at this through the lens of, we'll look at these next little things through the lens of why a good daddy might say that some of these things are not a good idea. Remember, God wants you to be joyful. Some of these, yeah, but some of, I'm Spider-Man in my web. Some of these things bring me joy. They make me happy. Why, through the lens of a good daddy, why would he say that these are not such a good idea? Let's start at the top. Drinking. I was an alcoholic for 10 years. 10 years. Not sober for a day. You see, I thought I had a lot of freedom. I thought when I got home from my first church service here and I got home and I slammed 10 beers, I thought back into that statement of all Christians are mind controlled and have no freedom, right? I thought, these guys, no, they can't drink because they don't have freedom. I couldn't stop because I had no freedom. I couldn't stop. I had no freedom. Back on that list, no God, no Jesus, money. I judged everyone, but you couldn't be my friend unless you earned six figures. I might look like a hippie now, but I used to have a very successful corporate career. Six-figure salary, looking good. Two-story penthouse apartment in the city. On the outside, I looked very successful, but inside I was dying. I had no freedom. I didn't even have freedom to choose my friends because I looked at them, and unless you earned six-figure salary, I ain't interested in you. Does that sound like freedom? That's not freedom. No freedom. No freedom. So why would a good daddy say that drinking is not a good idea? Well, I had a BC. I can remember for the happy times that I drank and got drunk, there was a lot of rubbish that came with it. Huh? Feeling ashamed, feeling embarrassed, doing things that I didn't want to do. Can you see why a good daddy might say it's a good idea to stay sober? He's not trying to rob your joy. He's trying to restore it. How about premarital sex? Let's turn it up a little bit, right? Why would it? Oh, but I love it. Of course you love it. He made it to be great in the confines of a marriage. Why would a good daddy tell you that that's not such a good idea? It's going to bring you some hurt. Why would a good daddy say, nah? Well, how about this? Four generations is all it would take to rid the world of every STD if everyone was in a monogamous relationship, only had one partner. What does that look like? Marriage. How about that? He's not trying to rob your joy. He's trying to restore it. How about the fruit of what that sex is? Children. Now, I am not going to hang on single parents in here because we have single parents in here and they do amazing jobs with their children. Absolutely amazing jobs with their children. And they are tremendous parents. Absolutely tremendous parents. The fruit of marriage, the children, kids. God said our kids are going to be most joyous, most productive, most happy, most set up in the confines of marriage. He did say that. That's what it, he didn't say that, but the point is God is a family man. He loves families. He loves marriages. Can you see why a good daddy would say, this is probably a good idea, guys? He knows you. He made you. Right? I'll pick one more off that list. Look at that social media up there, the big guy with the muscles. He might go, oh, why is that such a bad idea? All right, let's look at it through the lens of a good daddy and how and why he might why it could be a bad idea. How about when you're looking through your Facebook for, and putting things on your Facebook for the likes, for the affirmation, for somebody to tell you you're good enough? He wants you to go to him for that affirmation. Go to him to get that like. He's the source of that. Can you see, like, this? Could you see why a good daddy would say to you, this world is not real. This online world is not real. These likes are not likes. That this love, this persona, this perception is not real. It's not of value to you. Come to me. I will give you a like and it will be an amazing like. I will give you love and it will be amazing love. Can you see why a good daddy would do that? He is not trying to rob you of joy. He's trying to restore it. He wants you to have freedom. He wants you to have freedom. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a promise. He fulfilled this, guys. This is a promise. John 15, again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. That your joy, not so your joy might come and go, that your joy might be half. Your joy may be complete. Because someone has been telling you lies. Someone has been telling you lies. God's not your enemy. He is not your enemy. But there is an enemy. And we read here in John 8:44, this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about that enemy. Name him as Satan, the enemy. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, the father of all lies. So I've been talking about fathers, good fathers. There's bad fathers too. And sometimes some of us have had bad fathers. Our earthly fathers have been a poor example of what a daddy is. There are poor daddies. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But there is a loving daddy who wants to restore your joy. By promise. Because there's only one way to properly get rid of spiders, webs, and reinfestations, and it's more Jesus. More Jesus. The only thing that you need to do is make a decision to choose him. You don't need to go and buy it. You don't need to go and earn it. You just need to make a choice to choose him. There's no need to be ashamed or feel stink. Nah. Because he'll take you how you are today. Because how many of you guys know that when he had those nails nailed through his hands and he hung up on that cross, he wasn't doing it for you in your perfection. He was doing it when you were at your lowest point. It's available to you today. You can have it. The guilt gone. The shame gone. The rubbish, the stink Seriously, I can tell you, I promise you, I have experienced this. I experience it every day. I'm telling you from my part, I can tell you, I have walked this. And so when I came down these stairs and I made a choice, it was a bold choice. I felt something. I'm going to do something about it. I came down these stairs. Yeah? I encourage you to do the same. It's open for you today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.